to see everyone out. Before we open up God's Word and I share a little bit about what He's been laying on my heart, I'm just going to ask Ben Frazier to open us up in a word of prayer. Amen. We're going to turn to some scripture in a second, but I'm going to, while we do, I'm going to get you guys to think of some things. What are some differences in your life and Elijah's life? Elijah from 1 Kings, what are some differences between your life and his life? And as we think about that, let's turn to James chapter 5. Dan asked me if I was going to speak on one of the words from the videos, and this is going to loop around to redemption eventually. You'll just have to be patient as we make our way there. Okay, who can think of some things that are different in your life compared to Elijah's? Any hands, voices? Jaden? Elijah was a prophet. Anything else? I'll give you some hints. God worked some great miracles through him. He was a man of God. He talked to a king. Morgan, is Morgan here? Morgan's here. Morgan had rhymed off a whole bunch for me today to think of. Anyway, but Elijah was a man of God. And God worked some amazing things through him. And I didn't actually turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 17. I'm just thinking about how he was a man of God, and of all the things he did, we think of how he had a standoff with the prophets of Baal, and just how he brought truth in a very dark time to a land of darkness. And it says in James chapter 5, verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So, you might be wondering what I am talking about. What I've been thinking about is, why does my life not look like this man of God's? Why are there so many differences that I can see in my life compared to Elijah's? And I'm not saying this in a way that I'm not trying to say that I'm striving to be like Elijah so people could look at me and be like, there's a man of God. Let's just look at 1 Kings 18, verses 37, and we'll see. And I've been thinking just in the terms of how God can be glorified through a person's life. In 1 Kings 18, verses 37 to 39. And this is when he's on Mount Carmel, and he's praying to God. And he says, "Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the waters that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" Elijah's life pointed to God. It was clear. We saw in James that he had a like nature. He had a nature that was like ours. He was no different than any other human being in this room. He still sinned against God. He still had things that were wrong with his life, but we see all these great things that he did, and we saw also his prayer life and how he earnestly prayed. And the only logical conclusion. I enjoyed when Dave spoke this summer about how the Bible is so logical and how everything can just be, you can find the answers in the Bible. The only logical conclusion I could find in the Bible is simply that Elijah loves God, loved God more than I do. That seems, Elijah dedicated his life fully to God. And you might think I'm being hard on myself, but I don't think I am. In fact, I think that I've been too easy on myself. And let's just turn to help explain why I think I've been too easy on myself, because, like I said, he's just like anyone else. Let's turn to John chapter 16 and verse 7. And this is Jesus speaking. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. So here, this is Jesus saying to his disciples, it is actually better if I depart from you and go up to heaven so that you could receive the Holy Spirit. And all of us who have been saved today have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. And I've just been under conviction of how lightly I've been taking that. Elijah, he did not have that advantage. This is something I had an advantage over him on. You hear in golf, if you've ever been golfing, there's different tee lines, and the further you go back, the more handicapped you are. Well, Elijah, he was all the way at the back, and there's more handicaps yet that he didn't have. And you could say, you could kind of justify this one a little bit, where Elijah did talk to God. So, but now let's look at what else, what other advantages that we have over Elijah. And let's go to 1 John chapter 2. And starting in verse 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the whole world. And here we see our second advantage, and that's Jesus Christ. And now is when we'll tie it into redemption a little bit. And if we look at the life of Jesus Christ, we see how God demonstrated his own love toward us. And we know that we're sinners. We know that we fail each and every day. But in spite of all these things, God demonstrated that he loves us so much that he's willing to send his only son to die on the cross for me. And Elijah, he saw God's glory in creation. He had God's law, and he was able to appreciate God so much through that. And he didn't even know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was coming to die for the world. Let's just keep reading a little bit. And now I'm thinking, I'll read the verses. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. This is how we know if we know him. If we keep his commandments, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know we are in him. He who says, abide in him, ought himself to walk just as he walked. And it's easy for me, whenever I read through the New Testament, to pick and choose verses that I want to listen to. It's easy for me to look and say something like praying before eating. That's something I can do. I can follow that. Or just simple things like that. But we have to also, if we're taking this fully, we have to also keep all his commandments and abide in him. And we see, let's just flip to Romans chapter 12 and just thinking a little bit more along these lines. Romans 12 and verse 1. And this is what our duty is. This is how we know if we know. This is how we know that we know him. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And in my own life, I find it so easy for my eyes to be drawn from up here to down here. It's so easy for me to keep worldly things in mind because it's all around us, but we're reminded that our bodies are supposed to be presented as a living sacrifice to God. This is our reasonable service. This isn't him asking us something that he hasn't already done for us. This is him asking us something that is supposed to be our reasonable service. Let's also look to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And I know I'm hopping around a lot. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness and longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And again, here we're supposed to walk worthy of the calling which we were called. And we're just so thankful that we can stand here redeemed, knowing that we don't... It's impossible for us to walk worthy of that calling. It's impossible for us to earn our way to heaven. And that's why we're so thankful for the gift that God gave us when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Because no matter how hard we try, it's not going to matter. That will not get us there by itself. And let's just also look to Luke chapter 14. And here's what Jesus says we are supposed to do. He lays out what the real price of being his disciple is. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple." And then if we skip down to verse 34 and 35, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? If it's neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but for men to throw it out, he who has ears, let him hear." And here we see how extreme our devotion to Christ should be. Here's how we see, in comparison to when we think of how much God loves us and how much our love for him should be, the fact that we're supposed to, be able to walk away from our parents, walk away from whatever it is around us to be his disciple. And it just talks about bearing the cross, and we think about how we're supposed to put to death the flesh. If we just flip back to James, or 1 John chapter 2 for one more second. And I was just thinking, and we'll go over to verse 15 in 1 John chapter 2. "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." And that was really all I had laid on my heart, just especially thinking about at the end there, how when salt loses its savor, sometimes I have heard multiple times that the reason people don't want to come to church, don't want to have a relationship with God, is because they see Christians and how they claim to follow Christ, and it's just not something they desire. It is not the perfect kind of love that Jesus demonstrates. And the same in the Old Testament, the New Testament church, we just see how they demonstrated their love so plainly. And if we look just in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, just for a second. And we'll just start in verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and all understanding, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I could move mountains, though I have faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And I was just thinking about the fact that Elijah was a man of God, and he did amazing things. And I was just thinking about how much more God has blessed us and how much more he has shown us of his character and how much easier it should be for us to live a life that is as impactful as Elijah. And not for the sake of, for as man-pleasers, not for the sake of self-righteousness, but for the sake of the world. There's so many people right now that are on their way to hell, and sometimes I find it so hard to say I have the good news of the gospel and actually sound like I mean it. It's hard for me to sound like I actually have the best news ever, and that is the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. I hope that's been somewhat helpful. I know it might sound a little bit confusing and lopsided, but I've just really been encouraged by the fact that even though I fall short each and every day, that God loves me so much that he still sent his son to die on the cross for me, and he still wants to use me in any way he can. So maybe we'll just close the meeting in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for everything you've given us, and we just pray that you'll help us to live lives that look and are just according to your will. We know that if we were truly willing to sacrifice everything for you, our lives would probably look radically different. And sometimes it's so hard for us to sacrifice things of this world and temporary things, but whenever we think about all the people that are lost without you right now and don't know you and have the peace that passes understanding that only you can provide, Lord, I pray that it just puts a fire in our hearts and a real desire just to patiently and slowly, as you reveal yourself to us, just to want to know you more and have that desire where it's not just a fire for a minute and then it goes away, but it's just a continual burn, Lord, where we just have our hearts that are open and soft and just passionate for the world around us, Lord, because we know there's so many lost people out there, and we just pray that you'll help us to shed the light of the gospel on them. In your holy and precious name, amen.